Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Prophets McQueen
of Christ in Redemptive Ministry, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you're joining us today. We're happy about what God is doing for us and using us to do. We are currently, we're in our and as we're working to work out some of the kinks and the bugs and get things together, we know that God has blessed us. And we're excited about that.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Before I go any further, let me go ahead and turn it over to Prophetess Crystal, who will lead us in our announcements and in our prayer. Prophetess?
Amen. God bless you, everybody. Once again, welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We are very excited tonight about you being here with us. Just want to give quick announcements this evening and prayer, and once again, as my husband said, immediately following, prepare your heart to hear the word of God. Amen and amen again. The announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m., please join us for Kingdom Lifestyle McQueen. That's at 7 Saturday at 10:30 a.m. On Thursday evenings at 7 p.m., join me for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Join me, Prophetess Crystal Quinney, for a prophetic atmosphere on the Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Amen. And you can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. If you know that is our website, we're still doing construction. We have made some changes. We are still active and live. Please send us any type of emails if you would like. If you would like to learn more about our ministry, or if you would like to invite us to your church, as you're on our website, go to the Contact Us page tab that's located at the top of the website. Follow the instructions and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen? Amen. Would like to all let you know that Kingdom Lifestyle, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and Prophetic Atmosphere has a Facebook page. Please go to our Facebook page and like us there. You can locate us on Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as WOED, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Amen? Amen. Those are the announcements as follows. Now let us prepare our hearts for prayer, and then immediately following the Word of God from none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen. Let's bow our hands. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just bless you and we glorify you. We thank you and we lift your name up. God, there is no other God like you. We just bless you. We magnify you. We glorify your name. You are the Holy One of Israel. You are the mighty God. You are the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. Lord, we just worship your holy name, and we magnify you, and we lift your name up for all that you have done for us. Father, even now, as we, your people, come before you, we just bow ourselves at your feet, bow ourselves at your right hand. Father, we ask for forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would wash us and cleanse us from all of our iniquity, all of our sin, and all of our unrighteousness, Father, in Jesus' name. God, even now, we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit in this house. Lord, we ask that you would anoint the pastor, anoint the apostle, crown his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Speak through him the oracles of God. Give him fresh manna for us, your people, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you now for every sign. We thank you for every wonder, and we thank you for every miracle that you're doing in us. God, we thank you for where you're taking us to. God, we thank you because you are God all by yourself. We bless you, we glorify you, we thank you, and lift your name up. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, let us receive Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for that awesome, dynamic prayer. We're so happy, as I said, for what God is doing. God has blessed us and is continuing to bless us. Even now, we are currently in our new space, amen, and we have different utilities and people through to do different things for us, amen. Thursday we should have our internet and everything on for our streaming, so if you all bear with us, amen, you'll hear a little anomaly here and there, but we know that as we go forward, we're going to do a whole lot better. Amen? Amen. Now, let's go in this word. Let's go in this word. We're going to amen. We started on Sunday, amen. We have not set up the broadcast yet for Sunday, but it is coming, I assure you. We started talking about it's time to build. It's time to build. Amen. And that's what it's time to build. We begin to understand a few things. First of all, as we start a new location, we're going and we're breaking new ground. That means that there's some things that are happening that God has designed for us, and he has set in place. He has set it in order. And now we begin to walk it out. It is something that we can say it's been a long time coming, but the change has finally come. Amen. I know he said, but a change is going to come. I want you to know that the change has arrived. And in your life, you have to start to see the change that God has created and why he's creating the change. Amen. And not look at it for one thing or the other, but understand that in everything that God does, and I do mean everything that God does is for purpose, is for reason, and is for a divine season.
Yes, yes, yes.
So as we embark upon a new season, amen, we have to look at what God is doing and understand his positioning, his purpose, amen, and also his resolve. But then that means that we have to ourselves have a resolve ourselves. We can't just be those who exist but refuse to live. We can't be those who have come along and God has brought us so far, but now we're here and we have no desire to go any further. We have to be those who are looking forward to going on and doing greater things. Amen. The Bible says it very clearly in the book of Daniel that they that know their God will do exceedingly great works and exploits. Amen. And now we need to begin to know who he is.
Amen.
If you don't know, if you do not know who he is, I invite you to get to know him. We got to move from religion to relationship. Amen. Stop sitting around and making excuses for bad behavior and all those other things. Amen. And start living the life that he's called us to live. He said that I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Amen. So let's get on to this abundant living and enjoy the Lord. Amen. Now, we started reading, and you know, we started dealing with scripture, amen. Psalms, amen. As I was reading through here, we just pulled a verse, amen, and then we went into the book of Amos, amen, amen. But let's start here. In Psalms 127, reading from the New King James Bible, amen, it simply says these words here. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Amen. Let's read this. I want to read this also from one of these other. Let's look at the Message. I do believe that was the one. There you go. Let's go to the Message Bible. Amen. It says simply, if God doesn't build the house, the builders only build shacks. I think that will preach all by itself. Amen. If God doesn't guard the city, the night watchman might as well nap. Okay. Now, I'll stop there. Because, see, what's happening now is God is calling us into accountability. Whoo. Okay, that's a big word. Accountability. What are you saying? When you are accountable to God, then God tells you that there are certain things that he requires of you and why he requires them of you. Amen. You were born with a purpose. There is a reason for your existence. Some people have gone through life and they have just lived according to what they felt would be a good thing, but not necessarily the godly thing. Amen. So they have gone to school. They have gone and gotten certificates, diplomas, degrees. They have gone off and gotten different accolades and everything. And in the midst of all of that, they seek to find for themselves a purpose, a reason for being. But what they find is that those things become very shallow. Because if God didn't do it, it doesn't have any substance to it. Amen. I share it with you. There are certain things that we have to look at. Amen. We dealt with in Amos. Amen. Let's go over there right quick, because we have to continue to build on the foundation that we started with. Amen. In the book of Amos. Lord, Lord, Lord. The book of Amos, we're going to chapter 3, I do believe, in the 3rd verse. Amen. Simply says here, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Amen. And then it goes down a list of things that will not, unless there is provocation for a response, such as will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey. Amen? You see that? These are all things that are being said in such a way that if it were to occur, there has to be a precipitating factor, something has to be there that causes it to respond the way that it does. Amen? So when he begins to say, can two walk together unless they are agreed? When we go back to our original, unless the Lord builds a house, we have certain points there. Number one, we have to be in agreement. But we have to be in agreement with what God says. How do we know what God says? That's where the seventh verse comes in. It says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So that means that when God begins to speak, we need to hear what the Lord is saying. But not just because we can read the Bible and we can go through the self-help aisle of your local Barnes & Noble or Books a Million or whatever it is, but because you can actually hear from the Lord. And sometimes we are hard of hearing, and what God does is he will send along the man, the woman of God, with the word in their mouth for your deliverance, not just your deliverance, for your direction, not just for your direction, also for your encouragement, for your exhortation, something that will build you up. And sometimes it will come and it will correct you. Every word that you receive is not going to be to your liking. I need to say that very clearly, because sometimes we think that every word that's going to come is going to be about my car, my house. It's going to come and put me in a wealthy place. Well, guess what, my brother, my sister, everything is not going to take you there. Amen? Some things are going to challenge you. They're going to challenge you because you're not ready, amen, for the next thing that God has for you. So you have to go through some processing, amen? God then will send the word through the man, the woman of God, amen, and they will teach and instruct you. Now, this is not what we feel or what we believe. This is what God has put upon us, amen. He gives us a burden. There is a mantle. There is a weight that is upon us, amen. We know when you have gotten delivered or when the Lord is satisfied, because the burden will lift. Amen. If you haven't got to a man or woman of God who has a burden for souls, then all you're doing is showing up at a church hoping that somebody cares about you. Brother or sister, you are not a number. You are a child of God. There are rights, there are benefits that belong to you, and we have to, as the men and as the woman of God, begin to stand in the office and do the assignment that God has given us. Souls are dying and going to hell while you try to build the kingdom of I. No time for the drama and the crazy, amen? Get yourself together, and we have work to do, amen? Huh? Look what it says here. Sometimes God will challenge you and talk to you and say some things to you, amen? But it's always going to be foundational to the word, amen? Look what it says here in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 16th verse. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that he has to be able to speak to you, and you have to be able to hear him. But that word inspiration carries another connotation with it, which is simply it has to have the ability to move you. Huh? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Huh? And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Yes, so sometimes what the Lord does is he begins to speak, as he says here in Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets, amen? In the New Testament, we can say the apostles or the evangelists or the pastors, amen? Not just the prophets, amen? Because now we operate at a different level, amen? Before, all they had was the prophet as the oracle of God. And now you have, if you will, the fivefold ministry, amen? So when God does something, he's going to reveal it first to the pastor.
Yeah.
First to the apostle, first to the prophet, first to the evangelist, the teacher, amen, so that you will know what has to be done. And our job then is to instruct you in the things of God, not the things that we want to do or how we're trying to do it. My brothers and sisters who are in the leadership of the ecclesia, you have to get past yourself. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You got to get past yourself. We're so busy trying to get people to recognize who we are that we forgot who we are. So we should be the children of God, doing the things of God, but we can't do any of that because we're so focused on who's seeing me. Where's my next preaching engagement? How many people showed up in attendance when I stretched forth my hand? What happened when I laid my hands on you? That word that I gave you, what happened? Did it come to pass? I told you, believe the prophet. Now, where's my seed offering? See, all of that foolishness has nothing to do with doing what God called us to do. The Bible talks very clearly of those who would take the gospel and use it as a means of wealth or a means of gain. Amen. 1 Timothy 6. Amen. Come on, let's look at that right quick while we're over here in Timothy. Amen. 6 and 5. Amen. Huh? Let's start the third verse. Amen. It says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the problem, is that they walked away from the words of Jesus Christ. There's too many self-help books out here. You have to get into new thought and prosperity theologies and the theology of life and hyper-grace and all the rest of those because people don't want to hear sound doctrine. Don't tell me I have to change who I am in order to be pleasing unto the Lord. The Lord should like me as he made me. Well, brothers and sisters, you were born in sin. Shaped in iniquity. That means that he allowed you to be born, but then there comes the challenge. And I said it before, as Christians, we have to understand that there's never a time when we were just created to be. Everything that you are and will become is part of a process. And that process is part of a plan. And that plan is part of God's directives for your life. So he created you for a reason. And when you don't want to deal with that reason, then you got to find other words to live by. Enter self-help. You understand that some of these things, as I was taking my world religion course in college, they was running through the different religions that were actually like Christianity. And what they would do is, you have to understand that in certain religions, they have a trinity too.
They sure do.
Yeah. It's not the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yeah. Yeah, it's Mother Earth and all the rest of them. You go on and look it up for yourself. Amen. But you'll find out that they all believe in Christ. They just don't all believe in the deity of Christ. Amen. All of them can validate Christ in some aspect, but they can't validate his deity because everybody don't want to believe in him. So they will get rid of those words because they don't want to deal with the word. First thing he did was my instructor started to try to tear down the word of God. But he said something, and thank God for the Holy Spirit who rose up in me, and I simply said something to him. And he said, well, you know, you have to listen. This word here that you guys are talking about can't really be integral. It was written, you know, a couple hundred years from the actual event. And I said, well, yeah. But then he began to talk about how in Islam it was written thousands of years after. Well, you know, when you get into some of these other ones, Hinduism and all that, you find out it was written, you know, well after. So we're fairly new in Christianity with the word. Amen? Huh? But even at that, the one thing that he did was he tried to tear down the words. And me and myself, and other Christians who were in there began to tell him, we will trust in the word. First paper he had us write was, your personal belief. What is it that you really believe? And then he said, as we be turning in that, he said, I hope that through this course, as you are studying the evidence, that you are open-minded enough to analyze what you believe. And hopefully, maybe at the end, you'll find that, you know, you have changed what you believe. Brothers, sisters, I went in there a Christian. I came out a Christian. And understanding that there's no other way but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm not going to change for nobody. I told him during the class, I said, you have to understand, the experience that I've had with them is not something that I heard from mama or daddy. Thank God they took me to church, but I had to learn about this myself. Amen? And I know him myself. So the words of Christ aren't going anywhere. Amen? Let's read on here. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine, to the doctrine which accords with godliness, and I said it before, they're not preaching godly no more. Huh? He is proud, knowing nothing but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, revelings, evil suspicions, useless wranglings. Here's the fifth verse. Here you go. Of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. There's no truth there, but they got some words they came up with. Who suppose that godliness is a means of gain? Huh? From such withdraw yourself. So when we see this here, then we see that there are people who are trying their best to find a way to God without God. Huh? So they can't hear the secrets of God. They can't hear the secret things of God because they're not connected to God. Amen? Amos here, where he says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Lets us know that he is speaking to those who are his and those who are listening. Jesus said it this way. He said, let those who hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen? Mm-hmm. We have to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And begin to move according to him. Now, let's go on here, back over here, and see. Because the three things that you have to do is you have to understand that the enemy of being built or being processed or being elevated, amen, huh, is your failure to come into agreement, number one. Number two, your failure to follow the man, the woman of God that he has set in your life. Notice it didn't say, surely the Lord does nothing unless he tells you what he's going to do and maybe tell the pastor. Sure. It says, unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophet. That means that there is a responsibility to those who are in the hierarchy of the church,
yeah,
in the leadership. He'll speak to them, but you have to be obedient to the word that is being spoken. Amen. Now, what's the third thing? God speaks. The man and woman speaks. We got to be in alignment. We can't be built if we are out of agreement. We won't listen to what God says through the man and woman of God. And vicariously by that, we can't hear what God wants us to do. So we walk in disobedience. Huh? You remember when we went to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, we saw all of these things that he said, but we heard the words obedience. Huh? And that's the thing that we're missing is people are not obedient to God anymore. They're obedient to what they feel, obedient to what they like. 2 Timothy 3rd chapter says, in the last days, men will not endure sound doctrine. But it won't. You know, we're in a new location and we're beginning to put things together and beginning to build up and thank God for what he's done and what he's given. But when you start preaching the unadulterated gospel, the troops are coming out. They're going to come out and try to find any way to shut down the truth, because when the truth shows up, every lie is revealed. Oh, let me say that again. When the truth shows up, every lie is revealed. That means when we begin to preach the gospel and it's not compromised or going to the left or the right, and it's not, there's no hidden agenda as to how to market and do X, Y, and Z. When we're here because this is what God said to do, then he gives us favor. He gives us the ability to do what needs to be done, and we go forward. Mm-hmm. So, going back to Psalms then, we understand that when it says, unless God builds a house, you have to understand that if God is going to build the house, we have to understand what the house is. Look at your neighbor and simply just ask that question amongst yourself. What's the house? Where's the house? It is interesting to me that we talk about building, but we don't understand what is being built. Reminds me of a child trying to help a parent build something, or help the parent do something, but they don't know what the parent is doing. So they say, can I help? And the parent says, hold on. Or if they try, they say, not now, hold on. And the child is like, but I really want to help. The problem isn't you wanting to help. The problem is your ability to help based on your maturity level. You know, I thank God for my father. He taught me how to build. We had a restaurant called King's Village in Toledo, Ohio. And he would come in and decide that he wanted to expand the dining room area and put in a little terrace or put in this or put in, you know, whatever he wants to do. So what he would do is he would go out and he would measure out where it was going to be. My wife saw me do this many times. Set it down, look at it, get some graph paper, draw it out, go back, look at it again, move stuff around, put markers in so he could visualize how it was going to be and where it was going to set. And then from there, he would go to the store, building supply store, and begin to buy the stuff that was needed. So I watched him use plumb lines and levelers, and I learned how to lay brick watching him, you know, do all of that. I learned how to build up framing in and hang drywall and all of that, watching him do it. Now, this is the thing. When he showed us what was needed, we could go over and start to do it. And tell me if this is familiar, those of you young men, some of you young women maybe who may have helped your pops out. He would take a nail and put it where he wanted to drive it and go pop, and it was in. And what I would do is I would take that same nail and go tap, 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 bend, pull it out, try to straighten it up, tap, 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 bend, try to straighten it out. And my dad would look at me messing up the wood. So he would come over and say, listen, your intent and what you're doing is what's driving you out. All those little baby taps ain't going to drive this nail. When you come over here and you're ready to drive it, look at where you're going and then take one good hit, pop, it's in. If he needed a second one, it was just to make sure it was all the way flush. And so it is when we begin to do stuff now. God knows how to drive it directly in. And it ain't going to take all day. And he ain't going to mess up while he's doing it. But we like to get in the way and try to help him with the process. And we begin to mess it up. And as we're messing it up, what happens then is we have to stop, straighten it out. Go back at trying to fix it. Stop, straighten it out. Go back at trying to fix it. And if you would simply just let the Lord do what he's going to do, you could have been through the process and down the road a long time ago. We don't like to think about that because it says that there are some inadequacies to our developing ourselves. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you for real, yes, there are. And you need to be happy that the Lord cares so much about you that he won't leave it to you.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hmm? He does what he needs to do so that we can come up to the place where we need to be. When we talk about the house, we talk about a place where we come for shelter, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, we come for maturity. Number three, we come for edification. Number four, we come for rest. So what God is trying to do is he's trying to build in us shelter. Shelter is a wonderful word, but I like this other word too, sanctuary. It is a place where we come, where we can make sure that whatever's going on the outside, it doesn't affect us. I tell you, every once in a while, just walking into the household of faith is just refreshing to me because there's some things that when I'm outside of his presence, when I'm dealing with the world, I'm looking at them and I'm just thinking, if I could just get to church, if I could just get to the place where I know he dwells. He met us here last night. He met us here Sunday. He met us here this past weekend. If I could just get back to the place where I know his presence is, regardless of what's going on around me, I know that if I get in there, there's shelter from the rains of life. There's shelters from the emotional trauma. There's shelters from the bombardment of the world and the enemy that's trying to take me out. If I could just get in to the presence of God, get into his place. Huh? So when we talk about the house, you have to understand that what he's building is simply the temple. Huh? No, you're not that. You are the temple of the Most High God. We're going to get to that as we continue on this series here. I'm just going to touch on it right now. What God is doing is he's building you up as an edifice that he can indwell. Some things that you want inside of yourself, God has to remove so he can have what he wants, where he wants it. Maybe you put the couch over here and he don't like the couch there. He wants the couch someplace. We talk about have your way, Lord, have your way, but can he really? What about when he starts moving that painting that you finger painted and thought looked really good over the fireplace? What happens when he sits that out back by the trash bin because he wants to put the picture of his glory there? Do you get an attitude because that was I put a lot of time and effort into that? Or will you let him take it down and remove it? What about when he decides he's going to change the color scheme of your place? Can he do that? Is he free to do that? Huh? Shh. shelter. Shelter means that whatever's going on, if it's cold outside, shelter keeps you warm inside. When it's hot outside, shelter keeps you cool on the inside. When the sun is beaming down, shelter keeps you cool. You see that? When it's windy and raining and all the other elements are coming, shelter keeps you safe from them. Look at your neighbor and say, the Lord wants to build you up. Oh, yes, he does. And if the Lord is building you up, then he has some other things that he wants to do through you or for you. Amen? Huh? The second thing is secure. Notice that when you get inside your house, you feel safe. You see that? You don't feel that when you are inside your home, you don't feel like you are in danger, amen? It is a comfort, amen? Huh? When you are inside your home, you feel secure. Right now, some people are inside their homes, and you got your fuzzy slippers on, you got that robe on, you might have that old t-shirt that you had since high school or college or whatever it is. You got on, I mean, you can't go out the door with that on, but inside your house, you feel comfortable. Oh, I'm just comfortable. Inside your house, you should be comfortable and secure. Now, let's correlate this to your spiritual house that's being built. Inside of you, God is trying to get you to be comfortable with you. Oh. Are you happy with yourself? Are you satisfied with who God made you? We talk about different people now and watch how they have changed and worked to change their lives and change everything about them, even down to the economic states. And if they could, they would change their race. They would change their nationality. They would change their ethnic background. Huh? Because they are not happy with themselves. But the one thing that the Lord wants you to become is content and happy with yourself. Secure. Lack of security is insecurities. So what insecurities do you have? And how do you get rid of those insecurities? I'll submit to your understanding that one thing that you will have to do if you're going to get rid of insecurities is you have to understand how they came to be and then refuse to feed that thing. Stop empowering the source. Huh? Because things that you feed, huh, become stronger. I was reading, there's an old Indian tale, wise older elder in the tribe was there, and one of the young braves came up to him and was speaking to him, and he said, inside of you there are two wolves that are fighting. One is evil and one is good. The battle is raging. And the little brave said to the elder, he said, which one wins? And he said, the one that you feed. And so it is, when you begin to feed your insecurities, then they devour what should secure you. In order to get rid of insecurities, you got to stop feeding the fear. Huh? Failure. Fear of succeeding. Well, if I succeed, then I can't say, woe is me anymore. I actually have to walk. Well, baby, grow up, develop, and walk. Stop using that as a reason to stay broke now. That's not God. God didn't call you to brokenness. Huh? He didn't call you to malnourished, malnutrition. He didn't call you to lack. Huh? He called you to abundant living. But you can't do that if you're afraid to go out and do what the Lord said do. A lot of times all of this is simply insecurities because we have refused to be obedient to God. So now we're walking around not sure of our next step because we know the Lord told us to go witness to somebody and we didn't feel like it. We didn't want to. So we didn't, and when we didn't, then we didn't feel secure in our relationship anymore. So your insecurities really come a lot of times from your failure to obey. So we got to get to a place where we're going to obey God. What's the third thing? What's the third thing there? We have shelter. We have security. That is an important one. Let me move on to rest. Rest. What is rest? Well, it's interesting that God, after he had made everything, on the seventh day, he rested. What was he resting from? He was resting in what he had created. He has done all that he needed to do. He has set all things in place and in order, started them on their direction, and now he's sitting back. And the Bible said, and he rested. Some of you need to understand that being built means that you come to a place of rest. Now, rest has a couple of things that we need to look at. Rest is not just sleep, because there's a lot of people who go to sleep but don't rest. Amen? Huh? They're still busy and active. Huh? So they don't rest. Rest is also cease from moving. If I'm going to rest, I have to become secure. I have to become confident. I have to become content with where I am. All the movement, all the activity that was taking place, prior to the Lord resting to an end, he didn't have to move anything else. It was already moved. He didn't have to gather anything else. It was already gathered. He had already created man. He had already given and delegated authority and directive. Amen? Go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. Fill and multiply. In the earth, subdue, have dominion. All of these things we understand. But that happened after he did all of that. On the seventh day, the Bible said he rested. And now, I tell you, the one thing that he created on the seventh day, because there's 7 days of creation, the thing that he created on the seventh day was rest. Brother, sister, sometimes you are just too busybody for God to get the glory out of your life. Huh? Running to and fro, here and there. You feel that if you stopped or if you slowed down, that your world will crumble. I think the problem there is that a lot of times you have things that you set up that were more you than it was God. And you're afraid that if you slow down, you'll actually hear him say, that ain't me. So you keep running. You keep moving. You keep doing until you come to the end of yourself. I remember spiritual father Bishop Garrett said, he said, listen, we used to run and run and run and run until we had nervous breakdowns. Then we would go to the hospital and we would rest up there. They wouldn't let none of the church people talk to us. We got well enough and came out the hospital. They hitched us right back up and we ran, we ran, we ran again. There was a lot of doing. There was no resting. God did not create us to be Energizer bunnies that just keep going. He designed us to rest. Amen. 6 days of activity. Seventh day honor what he created. The Sabbath. Rest. Huh? And when you can do that, then you'll find out that you stop having stress. You stop having some of these stress-related problems in your life. Amen? Huh? Those things that were tearing you up, stop tearing you up because now you have given yourself an opportunity to recharge. Isn't it interesting that today, one of the biggest things that we need in our lives, need in the in Christianity, we don't see, and that is simply revival. No one's being revived anymore. You know why? Because we have moved ourselves past the need for. Everybody has arrived. Everybody's living on top of the world. Everybody's sitting underneath their fig tree and their olive tree. Huh? Mm-hmm. They're sitting right by their vine. Well, guess what? That's a false sense of security. And it's not the truth of the matter. If God is going to build us, huh? He's going to secure us. He's going to give us shelter. He's going to give us rest. Huh? He's going to enclose us. He's going to make sure that the temple that we are, huh? That we are ready to be the temple of the Most High God. It is something that we have to look at and be realistic about. And that is that we have to allow the Lord to build us. Unless the Lord built the house. I thought that was interesting when I saw the in front of house. Because it's not a house. Yeah? He made it specific to the house. And the word there deals with the coming together, the bringing together of different elements and different things. Amen? Huh? And when I looked at that, I said, Lord, well, what is building? What does it mean to build something? And when I looked at that and I began to check and see what it was saying, the word there was real interesting. It says simply to construct something, typically something large, typically something large, by putting parts or materials together over a period of time. So if we're being built up, then we are the house of the Lord. And he's taking his time in building us up by putting the parts in place that he wants. You see that? Gathering the materials together and slowly implementing them at their proper time and place so that we become something that is part of a whole that was designed by the Maker. We're being built up into a most holy church. Huh? A people. You see that? And the Lord is doing the building. We have to allow him to build us. The world, if it had its way, would tear down most people. You don't measure up. You don't look right. You got too much weight on you. You're the wrong skin color. You're the wrong ethnicity. You come from the wrong nation. You know, if it was up to them, you know, you're too backwoods, or you're too city, or you're too country, or you just a mountain somebody, or you just backwards this, or you just too educated about, you know what? The world doesn't have a perfect plan of who anybody is. But for each one of us, God has a perfect plan. It is the placement that he has for us. And that placement that he has for us is simply the thing that he does to build the kingdom. Thank God for our spiritual mother who's going on to be with the Lord, Mother Estella Boyd. Amen. Mother used to say this all the time. She said, there's some people that, are your people. You're going to have to get them. You're going to have to. You have voice in their ear. God gave you influence in them, in their ear. I can't do it because I don't have that influence. So there are people that are on your street, going down your road, and you have to get them. Amen? When you understand that, then you stop worrying about what everybody else is doing, because you recognize and realize that the people that God sent to you and the people that God has given you to bring to the kingdom, nobody else has voice in their ears. It is that reason right there and that reason alone that you have to stop trying to compete with people and let God have his way. God is trying to build us up. Huh? And as we go through these lessons, you'll see how he is building us and what the building eventually becomes. Amen? Huh? We're going to take this apart. We're going to go all the way back into Exodus and begin to look at the temple and then into the tabernacle and then into how God set us up as we continue on in this series. Amen? Come on, give God a praise. Prophetess, if you will. Give us our closing prayers and lead us out.
Amen. Wasn't that a word from God? Amen. It's time to build. Amen. Come on, let us bow our heads. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we thank you for the word of God. Father, we decree the word over our lives, that we will become secure, allow you to secure us, allow you to shelter us, amen, allow you to build us and add to us, allowing you to take us through the process so that you can make us who you have already predestinated us to be. Father, we thank you right now for our kingdom assignments, God. We thank you for our kingdom task. We realize, Father, and continue to recognize that it is our food is the reason why we continue to want to pursue and do your will. We thank you right now. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. If you are not saved, please pray this prayer with me. Father, I'm a sinner. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Forgive me for every sin. Make me whole. I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Man of God, woman of God, if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries are praying for you that God will lead you spiritually to a Bible-believing church that is going to mature you and prepare you and build you up and encourage you so that you could fulfill the kingdom assignment in your life that God has for you. Amen.
And amen. Please go to our website, www.ctkr. There, I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.